If you want to go ahead and grab your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 10. That passage that we read earlier as our scripture reading is going to be our anchor text this morning. I love that video, by the way. It's one of my favorite videos that Village Missions has produced. They produce a number of them. If you're online at all, if you follow on Facebook or go to the Village Missions website, they every couple of months, sometimes more frequent, sometimes less, they put out another video that way. And they're fantastic. They're really great. They revolve around Jesus Christ, the need for these communities to hear about and know Christ, to preach the word and love the people, as it said in that video. And it said at the end, when the Village Missions logo came up, it said, keeping country churches alive. That is the purpose of Village Missions, to keep country churches alive. Now, I don't know if you guys know this. We're a country church. We are. God put this church here in Bangor, California, for a very specific reason. And that is to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost of this community. So you could be saved. So a number of people could be saved. We'll get into some of those legacies and whatnot. I'll be mentioning those later on. But that is the purpose of this church being here in this community, to bring the gospel to lost, to save the people of this community that wouldn't otherwise be saved. Trying to do some research on the history of this church, partnering with Village Missions. From what I understand, they've partnered together since 1964. That's 54 years that Bangor Community Church and Village Missions have partnered together to reach out to this community. Reading, there's pamphlets that little bulletin type thing that was put out, it looked like in 2001, I was reading in my office, and doing the history of this church. And according to that, this church had essentially closed down prior to that point, prior to partnering with Village Missions. It was basically here as a community hall. There was no congregation, there was no regular meeting. But God preserved this church. He brought it through that situation, and he kept this church open and alive here in Bangor to preach the word and to love the people. Now, what does a country church bring to its community? Why is it important to keep these churches alive? And not just alive. You know, that's the baseline. That's Village Missions is keeping country churches alive. But if you go on their website, it has a second step, a deeper step to that. And their stated purpose is that they exist to develop spiritually vital churches in rural North America. So not just alive, but spiritually vital, healthy churches. Churches that will preach the word and churches that will love the people of their community. That's us. That's you guys here. That's not just me standing up here, but that is all of us that are Bangor Community Church. That's what we are here for. That's what Village Missions has partnered with us. That is why we have partnered with them. It's to make you spiritually vital so that you can go out and bring the light of the gospel to this community. And so obviously today we are talking about missions, specifically rural missions and the role that you and I and Village Missions play in our community and in communities like us throughout the country. You know, when we talk about missions, we can get some images in our head, right? Some stereotypes, some things like that. We think of missions as someone else going to some faraway country and trying to teach Jesus to tribes that have never seen other people before in the middle of nowhere. And if we're involved at all, it's through giving money to our church or a missions organization, and then we don't have to worry about it anymore. Now, that's not us. That's not necessarily us. But that's the stereotype of what people think of as missions. And there's obviously some issues with that stereotype. First of all, missions don't just exist out there, right? John Piper famously said that missions exist because worship doesn't. And so missions, which is simply sharing the gospel to those who don't know Christ, missions are just not out there. Missions are everywhere. They're in our family. They are in our churches often. People that come to church on a regular basis or even occasionally that don't know Christ. Missions are in our workplace and in our neighborhoods. Missions are our community. Missions are all around us. Wherever worship does not exist, missions need to. In terms of unsaved population numbers, the United States of America is the third largest mission field in the world. That's kind of sobering for a country that likes to claim that it's a Christian nation. Even when missions organizations or churches think of domestic missions, they often will think about urban or suburban areas. You hear a lot, churches will send their youth group to the inner city to help feed the homeless, to reach out and share the gospel with them. That's needed, but that's not all domestic missions is. No one can argue that those communities, that those populations don't need Jesus, but so does this community. So do these small, out-of-the-way places that the rest of the country thinks is forgotten, that is out of the way, that isn't worth it in some cases. And we saw in that video, Village Missions is here because these places aren't forgotten. These places are on people's hearts and minds and prayers. And there is a vital mission field and a church here that is to be a light to this community in the darkness. What happens to these rural areas, these small, quote, picturesque towns that dot the landscape of America? They get overlooked. They get forgotten. They get assumed that everything's fine there. That because it's small and picturesque, that there's no troubles, there's no worries. You know, that's, and you guys can share, you know, that's certainly not the case. You know, the idea, whether it was ever accurate or not, is certainly not accurate now. The problems from the cities, the problems that plague America, they may not have always, the idea that they don't affect small towns as well is, it, again, if it was ever true, is just gone. Today, drugs and alcohol, addiction in general, teen and unwed pregnancy, suicide, poverty, loneliness, broken homes, all of it are just as prevalent, if not more so, here in rural communities than they are in the cities and the suburbs. There's a reason that you have the bulletin insert in your bulletin this week that tells a couple of stories about drugs becoming, and in fact already being, a major problem in rural communities, in small town America, in these places. Many of you know family members or neighbors or someone affected by some level of addiction. That's where the local church comes in. That's where we, Bangor Community Church, comes in, and that's where Village Missions comes in. Because we have the solution to these issues. We have the solution to broken lives and broken hearts, hopelessness and weariness. And that solution is Jesus Christ. As your Bibles is still open to Romans chapter 10, read those first couple of verses that we read earlier. I'm going to start with 9 through 13. And Paul writes, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Now we're going through sermon series through Romans right now. We're coming up on the end of chapter 9. So we're actually going to get into this passage in a couple weeks. And we'll get deep into it at that point. We're just going to touch on the main point. What is the main point of this passage here today? And that is, call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Turn away from your sins. Put your complete faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your only hope of salvation. There's a need, a real need, not only in this community, but especially in our community. We're a broken people. God created the world perfect and good. The first two chapters of Genesis shows all of creation, all the way up through Adam and Eve, and the marriage of husband and wife was created perfect and good. In Genesis 3, everything changed. Adam and Eve sinned, and they brought a sinful nature that has infected every person who has been born, like a disease. That moment not only left us sinful by nature and guilty of sin, but it left us spiritually dead. It left us addicted to sin. It left us longing and searching for something to fulfill us. Now, before sin, we had a purpose. We were created to give glory to God, to worship Him, in essence. But now, with sin obstructing that, our purpose is obscured. We don't want to worship God. Instead, we want to be God. We instead worship ourselves and our own desires and our own wants. And so we are missing our purpose, and we have this need inside of us that is unfulfilled. And that manifests itself in a variety of ways. We go out, we look for purpose, we look for that acceptance, that perfect relationship that God had with Adam and Eve before the fall. That is the relationship that we are craving, that we are longing for, and we look look for purpose, we look for acceptance, we look for understanding, and when we can't find it, we look to numb the pain and the emptiness. We see drug and alcohol abuse skyrocket. We see suicide when we get to what we think is our wit's end, when the pain is just too much. We see sexual sin, seeking pleasure, acceptance, intimacy, and love. We see abusive relationships, both sides. The abuser doesn't see that the person that they are abusing is made in God's image. They see themselves as God. They see themselves as the one who gets to decide what happens to the one that they are abusing. And on the other side, the person that's being abused is forced into this place where they think that this is what love truly is. This is what it takes to be accepted. This is what it takes to be loved. They think that this is what they deserve. They think their abuser has a right to do with them what they want. All of this sin, all of this evil is here because we are trying with imperfect avenues, with imperfect broken people, and with imperfect temporary measures, trying to restore that relationship that we were created to be in with the one holy God. And even in what I just described, you see two extremes. Human beings are not a people that walk down the middle. Human beings are a people that go to one extreme or the other. One side we see elevate themselves up to a godlike status. They're the authority. They decide what happens and who it happens to. There's no need for a savior because they haven't done anything wrong. Also in this group, to a less extreme, but harder to reach at times, are those good moral people who think they are good enough, who think they can do good enough, and can somehow earn their way back into God's good graces. So they don't need a savior. The other side, the other extreme, is the one who knows just how broken and sinful they are, but they see no hope for salvation. God either doesn't exist or doesn't love them. God doesn't know what they've done, and if he did, he could never forgive that. There's no hope, no point, and they deserve whatever they get, is the thought process. Now, both of these extremes are completely wrong. Jesus says it very clearly. He puts it very differently. Jesus puts the invitation out to all to hear. He puts the invitation out that there is only one way. What the Bible describes is the hard and the narrow. That path is open to all who believe. Jesus is the only path to salvation. He is the only way to restore the relationship between us and the holy, creator, perfect, triune God. Jesus comes not to promise earthly comforts, though that can be a wonderful side effect, but he promises freedom from our sins. He promises the freedom to choose to do right. He changes lives and hearts, and he can change generational problems. He brings hope to the hopeless. He gives a father to the fatherless. He restores relationships and purposes, and he offers rest for the weary. This life here in this world, it's draining. It's wearisome. We get tired easily, especially when we're trying to earn something that we can never earn. We get tired of fighting against the truth. It wears us down trying to go against God and thinking that we know better than him. When we rely on ourselves, it takes a lot out of us. It's like trying to stop a train by standing on the tracks. And the more we rebel against God and his plans, the more we reject his offers, the more we trust in our own understanding, the more we hold on to what we think we have in this life, the more extremes we will go to keep that. If you talk to anybody who's been an addict, no matter what it was that they were addicted to, there's similarities, there's patterns in all of it. You know, at the beginning, it just takes a little bit. You know, a cigarette, a beer, betting on the football game, whatever the addiction is to, it just takes a little bit at the beginning. The deeper you go down that path, the further you get along in that, the more it takes to reach that same level that you're feeling. The more it takes to reach that high or to get that same result. And the more it takes, the harder it is to stop, both habitually and physically. Sin is an addiction as well. Sin is the root of all those addictions. And we cannot get ourselves out of it. The hold it has on us is too strong. Strong enough that as of ourselves, we don't want to let go of sin. But Jesus, fully God, fully man, is the one who can break those chains that hold us. He will fix the brokenness that is our lives. He will change our lives and our hearts from the inside out. And he will bring us from spiritual death to spiritual life. He will do that if we repent and believe. He will do that if we confess him as our Lord and Savior, if we have faith. But it has to be real, true, saving faith. It has to be biblical faith. Not just a verbal confession and we go on living the same life, but a faith that he gives us that breaks the chains of sin and gives a heart for his plans, for his desires, and helps us lean on his understanding. How can people make that decision if they don't know that option's there? I finish reading the passage in Romans verses 14 through 17. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. The only way for someone to respond to Christ is for them to hear the gospel, giving them something to respond to. If there is no gospel shared with a person, there is no opportunity for them to come to Christ. God has laid it out in his word. That is the only way that he works. And that's what missions is bringing the gospel to people that don't know it, bringing the gospel to people that haven't heard it, bringing the gospel to people that have not accepted Christ. That's the job of believers everywhere, to share the good news with everyone around us. And it is the job to those who are called to be sent, to go out and become a part of another community. And to, in the words of Village Missions, to preach the word, and to love the people. As we mentioned earlier, missions come in all sorts of varieties. Urban, suburban, foreign, tribal, and rural are just a couple that can be named of the different varieties of missions that are out there. And each of them has their own challenges. Each of them have their own opportunities, and each of them have their own rewards. Village Missions tries to identify some of the challenges of rural missions and to help equip us to overcome those challenges, to see those opportunities and those rewards. What's interesting to me is that a number of these challenges all have the same solution, aside from the Bible. The Bible is the solution to all of them. But some of the unique characteristics of rural communities, we see that it takes a while. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes a truly becoming a part of a community. Newcomers stay newcomers for many, many years. When Hope and I arrived at our last field, we were there for a month or two. And after we got there, a guy pulls up in his purple blazer. I'd seen him driving around town. Pulls up and he introduces himself and we're talking. And he mentions that he's still considered the new guy because he's only lived there for 15 years. Many rural communities and small towns, that's the norm. If you weren't born and raised there from the beginning, you're still the new person on into forever. Many rural communities, small towns, the family and the social connections go back generations upon generations. Everybody knows everybody else. People come and go, but family sticks around. And it's not uncommon, we've heard it here in our short time here so far, the thought towards new people in the community to be, well, how long till this person leaves? How long are you planning on staying? When are you leaving? That question doesn't come out of nowhere is the other part of that. We have to understand that's not... Those thoughts come from somewhere. They come from experience. There's a reason that question is common. People do come and go. It takes a while to make a difference. Now, I can only tell you what my plans are. I can't tell you what God's plans are, but my plans are to be here until I retire. Or hopefully, when we get some money saved up and we get closer to retirement, buy property around here and build a house or whatever. That's my plans. I don't know what God has planned. I believe that's what he has planned. And so when people say, how long are you going to be here? Well, I hope to prove to you that I'm going to be here for a long, long time. And I hope to change that thought process in you. I see where it came from. I know that you have valid reasons for questioning that. And I'm hoping to prove you wrong. It takes time to make a difference. It takes time to earn and to gain trust. And it takes a while to show people of communities that you truly do love them. There's a saying out there, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Well, showing that you care takes time. And so when Village Missions places missionary pastors into these communities, the idea is for them, the idea is for Hope and I to be a part of this community for as long as possible, whatever that looks like. Now, that hasn't always been the case. There's been a change in philosophy of that within Village Missions over the years, but that is the preferred ideal right now, is you put a person, a missionary pastor in the community, their family in the community, and let them plant. Let them become a part of the community. Let them preach the word in the church and love the people of the community. And it takes time for people to see that. Another challenge in reaching people in rural areas is that many people have moved out from the city or the suburbs. And they've moved to these places because they don't want to be known or found. In many of these communities, it really is not a good idea to start going door to door and to go up random driveways. To meet and to get to know people who don't want to be found, it takes time and it takes presence. It takes just being around, just being a part of the community over a number of years. The church being a presence in the community. Think about what this church has done or is doing to help this community. Currently, the fire relief and the commodities. There used to be AA meetings here. Churches are a big place for weddings and funerals. Even just having an open door and a listening ear. I can't tell you, working in my office, some call and some don't. People show up and they just want to talk. And having a presence here does that. It allows them that. It shows them that there's somebody here. People see that the church is open. They see that the church cares. They see that the church is willing to serve, to show the love of Christ, to be the arms and feet, and to earn a hearing with them so that we can share the gospel with them. The last unique thing about rural communities and rural churches especially that I want to share, feuds and loyalties run deep. And they last seemingly forever. When there are very few churches around, as in many Village Missions field, when there's only one church around, it is guaranteed that you will talk to somebody in that community that won't go to church because of something either that happened in the church years and years ago, or because somebody else goes to that church and they won't go there with that person there. Every single field, I guarantee you. Now, some of those, there may be valid reasons. There may be valid reasons to be upset with what the church did at the time, or the interpersonal conflict. There may be legitimate gripes going on there. Sometimes those things aren't remembered, but the feud still is there. Oftentimes, you know, and the loyalties are there too. Well, you did this to my friend, so therefore. You know, and it works the other way around as well. You know, we have people here who attended here when this building was built. They've been here for a number of years. We have people here whose parents and maybe even grandparents were a part of Bangor Community Church. The problem comes in, as is so common in America especially, the Bible Belt and rural communities specifically, is when that becomes cultural Christianity. My folks went to church. My grandma took me to Sunday school. Therefore, I'm a Christian. I raised my hand because everybody else was raising their hand. I prayed a prayer, didn't know what I was saying. But I did that, so I'm a Christian. Now, sometimes that works. Sometimes there are, and I can tell you people in this room, that has worked for, because there has been the heart change and the relationship with Jesus. And that was how it was expressed. Problem comes when there is no real relationship with Christ, and that is just a symbolic, physical act with no spiritualness behind it. And that happens. Showing people what real, true biblical Christianity is can take time. It's not as simple as always just opening the Bible and pointing them to certain passages, though that's a part of it. It rarely happens and rarely shows them the truth the first time that happens, though. We can often assume that there's no more to learn, no need to learn more, that we've been a Christian for so long, we've read the Bible so many times, we're good. Well, if you're saved, that's a great thing, but there's always more to it. There's always depth that needs to be plumbed. Bible studies, one-on-one discipleship, the teachings here on Sunday mornings, all are ways to show the truth of what the Bible actually says. Combine that with fellowship, potlucks, work parties, generally living our lives with each other, walking through the ups and downs of life. As the Bible says, bearing each other's burdens, preach the word, love the people. That is the call and the mission of all believers. Missions in one form or another. You are a missionary to your family, to your coworkers, to your neighbors, to your community. Many of you will never be called to pick up and go somewhere else to be a, quote, missionary. But that doesn't mean that you're not one. And you can and still should be involved in missions. Now, there's in addition to what you do with your family, your community, and that, there's two ways that you can be involved in those who go out. That's through prayer and through financial support. Now, before you get worried and nervous, a couple of things about finances. First, God does call us to give. He calls us not to give begrudgingly or out of obligation, but he calls us to give cheerfully and sacrificially. Our giving is to be considered a part of our worship. Now, if you're not a believer, this does not apply. If you are not a believer, you do not worship God, so giving is not a part of your worship. So don't think that the church is just here to ask everybody for money. If you are a believer, your first commitment is to your home church, wherever that is. And after you have cheerfully and sacrificially given to your home church, if God has blessed you and called you to give above that, I ask that you consider giving to missions. If you have missionaries that you know, if you have an organization that you trust and believe in, give to them. If you don't know where to start, I do ask that you take Village Missions under consideration. You can. There's a number of ways that you can give to Village Missions, to a number of, whether it's generally or down to specific causes. There's the envelopes and the things in the bulletin there. If you go online, you can break it down to different communities, different missionaries, specific causes. Reach 19 is one of those causes. They helped provide the Vacation Bible School material that we used this summer, that we were able to bring kids in, share the gospel with them, to be a light in the community. So there's different ways that can look, and different ways that you can support missions through Village Missions. And the key is that these families, these missionary pastors and their families, are placed in rural communities, in these small towns, to bring the gospel presence, to bring light to the darkness that is enveloping our country today. The prayer part of it may seem obvious. We try to make that as simple as possible for you guys. One example is the missionary spotlight of the week that's in the bulletins. Every week, another Village Missionary family is spotlighted, and they give a little bit of background about their community and about their prayer requests. As when Jim announces that, how often? Wow, that sounds a lot like us. There's similarities to all these communities. There are similar prayer requests in all these different areas. This is a big, it's a big job. It really is. So that's the easiest way to pray for Village Missionaries. They also put out different material. Stories from the field. I post these when we get new ones on the back bulletin back there. And in the track holder thing back there is some of the older copies of this. These are stories that Village Missionaries write in and talk about what God is doing in their churches and in their communities. And just how they are able to be a presence there. I'm going to read one. This is, if Rusty was here, he'd recognize this. Dan and Amber Mason in Pacific City, Oregon. This Sunday, as Dan was greeting folks after the service, he was approached by a woman who had visited Pacific City Bible Church 3 years ago. She went on to tell Dan that 3 years ago, her sister, who had come with her to church, had received Christ during the service and took communion for the first time. She wanted Dan to know that for the last 3 years, her sister has been faithful to study the Word. She also shared how her sister had shared Christ with their mom, and their mom had come to Christ as well. That's the type of stories that are coming out of the Village Missions fields all across America. And these are the things that you can look at and you can be encouraged by and you can pray for. Again, I post them on the back bulletin board over there. There's older ones back there as well. Quarterly newsletters. We get a bunch of them in every once in a while. They're on the back table back there. I encourage you to read through them. They focus on one theme and talk about what's going on in that, whatever that is, for that time. In this one, it's a Contenders Discipleship Initiative. It's Village Mission's free Bible school education that they provide so that people who are called to become Village Missionaries or pastors or elders or want to get deeper into the Bible, can get a Bible school education for free. That's what this one is about. Then there's, again, there's older ones back there as well that go into that. I am in the process of trying to get the map that's back there in the hallway pinned to show each Village Missions field across America so that if you have a call to pray for certain ones, you can see where they're at. Or if you're traveling and you want to stop in and support a Village Missions church on your vacations, you can see what's around where you're going. It's just it's a visual reminder that we are not alone, that we have resources with us as in Bangor here that we can call on, and we can get prayer support, and we can get help, and we can do these things to reach our community, and that there's those out there that are doing the same thing. Lastly, you can sign up for prayer emails and or like Village Missions on Facebook, and they'll share all sorts of different resources, stories, prayer requests, different things like that. Ultimately, if nothing else, what I want you to leave here today remembering is that salvation is only found in a true biblical faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior from sin. Amen. And Romans says that faith comes by hearing, hearing through the word of Christ. All of it is a gift of God, not of ourselves, so that no one may boast. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, as revealed by the scriptures alone. And how are they supposed to hear the gospel? How are they supposed to hear the word of God? How are they supposed to hear the scriptures unless someone is there to tell them? It is the gospel that saves. It is the gospel that changes lives. It is the gospel that frees us from our sins and our addictions. It's the gospel that brings us out of the jaws of death and into eternal life that is in the loving arms of God the Father. We're going to close. There's a brand new video that Village Missions just put out, and it highlights a life change just of that sort of example in a Village Missions field, and the role that Village missionaries and their churches have played a part in that.